The big banks in the world, the people we've been talking about for the last 3 years, they're getting ready to turn off the credit spigot. Okay, Reuters just reported a few days ago that the credit card companies are going to turn off up to $3 trillion worth of credit across all credit card, Visa, MasterCard, all across the spectrum.
Party's over. Had us a time. Everybody got loaded. Everybody looked fine. We emptied the coffers of water and wine. Party's over, we had a good time.
The big banks in the world, the people we've been talking about for the last 3 years, they're getting ready to turn off the credit spigot. Okay, Reuters just reported a few days ago that the credit card companies are going to turn off up to $3 trillion worth of credit across all credit card, Visa, MasterCard, all across the spectrum. Y'all who are living credit card are going to find the credit spigot turned off, and you are truly going to be out there getting only heat source from a Kraft-sponsored bus stop while you're eating, you know, beans out of a can. Because these credit card companies, and we knew that the credit card companies were going to do this, Stacey. We had proof because it was only maybe 6 months ago that Visa, one of the biggest credit card companies in the world, I think it's Visa and MasterCard have the duopoly of the global credit card business. Visa, which was incredibly profitable business for the banks, the consortium of banks that own Visa, they sold Visa as a public offering into the stock market on the New York Stock Exchange. The symbol, I think, is V.
For Vendetta. Biggest,
yeah, V for Vendetta. V for Vendetta. You know, they sold it. One of the biggest IPOs in the history of the stock market. Now, why would all these banks who have this guaranteed duopolistic franchise, money that they borrow for less than zero from gaming the global currency arbitrage game, and then you, sucker, paying 16, 17, 25, 36% on that money, is the most easiest profit to be made in the prison gulag society. Why would they be selling that to the public offering? Because they're about to turn off the credit cards. The stock has now been crashed along with everything else because they're going to turn credit cards off. Your credit card's going to be turned off. The credit card bubble has not yet burst. The subprime bubble burst. The credit card company's not yet burst. They're going to turn your credit cards off.
And guess who owns all the shares in that in Visa? Your pension fund, what remains of it, the state pension funds, your state budgets, all of that money, your local economies are going bankrupt. And it's about to get even worse for you because Visa is about to cut off the credit spigot. And yet your pension is relying on that credit spigot for a stream of income.
Party's over.
Europe, I suppose, to be expected, Max. It'll just get worse and worse, will it?
Well, the problem, Afshin, going back a few years, is that the American economy is suffering from what you could call a counterfeiting scheme. A lot of the banks and even the central banks have sold short bonds that don't really exist. This is called naked short selling. This is when you sell bonds that don't exist. It's a fancy way to engage in counterfeiting. So this has created a multi-hundred-trillion-dollar black hole of debt. And no matter how many trillions of dollars they tried to bail themselves out of this black hole of debt, even if they liquidated the entire U.S. economy, it's still not going to be enough to fill in this black hole of naked short-selling and counterfeiting debt that the investment banks on Wall Street. Furthermore, to complicate matters, if they're going to try to reinflate the American economy, they would need unscrupulous bankers on Wall Street like we used to have at Lehman Brothers. Lehman Brothers was a fantastic machine of inflating bogus bonds and bogus products, but they killed Lehman Brothers, so there's no machine left to inflate the economy. So as a result, this economy is going to continue to suffer. Jobs loss will continue to suffer. Barack Obama's on his knees now begging the Chinese for more loans. The Chinese are saying, we're not so sure, we're probably going to devalue our currency, and there's going to be a bit of a competitive global currency devaluation. which is a global game of currency poker, and America's holding the worst hand.
Do you think the Chinese are going to buy up some of these different elements of the U.S. auto market as the U.S. government decides to asset strip it?
Exactly. The Chinese are in a position to asset strip the American economy. The Chinese banks have become the Drexel Burnham Lambert of the 2008-2009 period. They're looking at us the way Carl Icahn used to look at companies and still does, as a predator. But I'll give you an example of how this fraudulent naked short selling can really kill people. There's a company called Force Protection. They make armored vehicles for SUVs and Humvees in Iraq. They were recently going to do a secondary offering to increase their capitalization, to give them the capacity to make more vehicles that would protect more American soldiers in Iraq. When they announced the secondary offering, the hedge fund managers and the croupiers on Wall Street, the financial terrorists, as I call them, they sold the stock naked, they forced the capitalization down, now the company can't get raise money to make these vehicles to protect U.S. soldiers. So here you have hedge funds in America who are actually, by proxy, killing the U.S. soldiers. It's quite remarkable. And no one seems to want to stop this. They just see U.S. soldiers as a way for hedge funds to make money, whether they live or die, and it's quite pathetic. But if no one's going to step in and try to stop this type of naked short selling from happening, it's just going to continue.
Got guns in my name, each one to revere. Save me, false protect me, bring on those lazy years. The picture's crazy, compassion's in the grave. Got guns in my name, throw your hands up and raise.
Do these bailouts have with the strength of their currencies? Is that correlation gone, or is it people just forgotten that deficits have something to do with the value of one's currency?
Well, this is the interesting question, because traditionally when the country engages in this type of deficit spending or these bailouts are applied to the economy, you would expect to see some kind of uptake in the economy, some kind of inflation. But what we're seeing now is this downward deflationary spiral, because no matter how many trillions of dollars they print or borrow to throw at the problem, it goes into this black hole of corrupt Wall Street banks, corrupt Federal Reserve banks. And it's a black hole worth hundreds of trillions of dollars. It's a huge black hole of debt that even if every single stock, bond, and house in America were liquidated and sold to the Chinese, and that money was thrown into this black hole of debt, it still would not create equilibrium in the U.S. economy. You would still have downward pressure. The only solution, and it's been alluded to here, is America's going to have to sell off huge pieces of itself to its creditors, including China, the Mideast, South Korea. South Korea, by the way, is getting very vocal in not wanting to buy U.S. bonds anymore. Taiwan, a couple of weeks ago, they said, we're not going to buy U.S. Treasury bonds anymore. The U.S. Treasury market went through a five-hour crash, but then somebody got on the phone to Taiwan and said, wait, we'll hold out. Don't sell us out yet. Maybe we'll give you Hollywood. I see in Hollywood they're going to start trading Hollywood box office futures contracts based on my technology that I invented a few years ago. This is only going to create Hollywood. It's going to turn into Enron. It's going to become a huge layered speculative hedge fund collapse of Hollywood. That'll be the next industry in America to collapse, thanks to Cantor Fitzgerald and their new box office futures contracts.
Hollywood.
Shame.
Hollywood, that great export of the United States. Thank you very much, as ever, Max Keiser, live from Paris.
Shit. That's the split. That's the deal. You'll get minimum wage, or you'll beg or steal. On a good day, you'll assemble chips. On a bad day, you'll wash windshields and beg for tips.
or go out to the dump and root through the trash and dream and scheme of any way to get some.
There are some very interesting stories starting to emerge from in the U.S., and this happened to my older sister as well, is the theft of your entire savings. So what's going on is I read this story on Daily Coast this morning, a diary from this woman, this couple, who have three children, and including a new baby. And the husband had lost his job in August, paying $60,000 a year, and they were in foreclosure on their properties. And so they're struggling to continue eating for the last 3 or 4 months. And they were down to their last $2,000. And but the guy was remaining positive, and he thought he was going to be able to take care of his family. And he was working hard to make that $2,000 last. And he figured he could make it last for a few months buying them food. So the wife was at the 7-Eleven, and she bought $2 worth of goods. And she used the debit card. And it was rejected. She didn't even have $2 in there, right? So they got home, they checked their online account, empty, nothing in there. And they were like, what? So they called their bank, and they said, yes, there was a judgment awarded to a collection agency who, and then they tracked it down, they tracked down the court records. And it turns out that the woman, the wife, something like 15 years previously, when she was a student, had some sort of, parking ticket or something crazy. And this collection agency bought that old parking ticket, received a judgment on it, and they claimed that they had tried to contact her, and they gave a summons to her sister, which she doesn't even have a sister. Anyway, they got this court order, and they deleted their savings account. They took the $2,000 from their savings account.
Right
at a time when everybody's losing their job. They have no. The family is desperate. The guy in his his blog is basically ready to take himself and his entire family because they had their money stolen. My sister had the same thing done to her. Well, hers was $5,000 they took from her. It just disappeared from the savings account.
Right. Well, this is some under Bush. This was part of the mass panic toward mass thieving by the top 1%. Is that they got all these laws passed. And to allow it, make it easier for wealth confiscation. Because the rich are saying, we don't want to play anymore. We want to go back to the way it was before America was born. We want a feudal system. We don't want democracy. We don't want a republic. We don't want America. We don't want to compete with you anymore. We want your money. Because we lost a few bucks as a result of some bad bets we made in the derivative market. So we want you to bail us out. We want your money. And you can't do anything about it because we have captured your government. And we have all the laws skewed in our favor, and so we just want your money. So there's no justice, and there's no recourse.
This is my definition of insanity. They're dying, I'm praying a change gon' come. The evidence is out on the street. Future looks very bleak. Culture's desecrated. Where did we go? Society, the systems turn their back on these outcasts. Life of misery in the parks, their home. World of destitution, what is the real solution? Lock them up and throw the keys, then right on.
My little sister, her 401k is down 75%. That's just theft. It's just like deleting it from your account. Who knows? There's no sort of transparency about how that disappeared. Was it were the bankers and brokers like favoring their other friends and saying, let's put your losses into this account of this woman?
Well, that's done in the mutual fund industry all the time. The losses are dumped. Now, I'll give you once again, as you know, I worked on Wall Street for many years, and we used to do what was called a look-back trade. And you go in the morning, you go into the office, you call up the options desk, and you say, I want to buy 100 of these options, and I don't want to give you the account number. And they buy 100 of these options, and then in the afternoon, depending on whether it's a loss or a gain, depends on what account number you give them. If it's a loss, you put it into a corporate account that needs a loss, a tax loss for the year, And if it's a gain, you put it into a most favored client account. You're trying to maybe make up for a loss or trying to curry favor with that client for whatever reason. And but needless, so this type of thing goes on all the time. So mutual funds on the big industrial wholesale money management business are where typically losses are dumped, and particularly in pension funds. Pension funds are where losses go to die, you know, because they have very bad management and they have very low threshold of expectation in terms of what their returns are. So many, many times I've seen where brokerages have made mistakes and they've got these huge losses, they dump them in pension accounts. And the pension account at the end of the year, instead of being up 20% like the market, was only up 1% or down 2 or 3%. And everyone just blames, oh, you know, it was a bad year. But for the most part, it's just fraud. You know, the level of fraud is so unbelievably deep-rooted in the brokerage industry, has been for decades, especially since Reagan deregulated, that you just really cannot... If it were the meatpacking industry, and you saw the actual meat and the entrails and the dirt and the filth, you would be repulsed by it, disgusted. But because we're talking about something that is esoteric, money and digits and accounting, you don't actually see the blood and the guts and the filth and the waste and the horror. You know, you don't really understand how abusive the business, banking and brokerage business, is in America. It's the worst of the worst of the meatpacking industry. And, you know, Upton Sinclair's classic book, Jungle, you know, which was the book that cleaned up the at that time anyway. But, you know, or these poultry, chicken, you know, slurries of pig feces in North Carolina. You know, during one of the storms in North Carolina a few years ago, you know, I have somebody down in that area who told me that the photos in the newspaper were of the slurries, which are the bogs of pig feces, were overflowing into a graveyard, so that you had rivers of feces flowing down the streets with coffins that were popping open and cadavers spilling out into the street. That's kind of what the brokerage industry has been like. That's kind of what Hank Paulson does all day. He lives in a world of pig feces, slurry, and popping open of coffins and having cadavers pop out. That's pretty much what this TARP fund is all about. It's just pig slurry and dead people. And he calls that some kind of economic policy. And he wants us all to stand up and give him a round of applause. But that's like standing up and giving the devil a round of applause.
It's about going down on Wall Street for the numbers on the screen. Where bankers pace around the floor trying to process everything. Money comes and the money goes, it's such a twisted game. Cause all around the world there's people starving. They caught the market, it used to be for slaves. Planters could purchase laborers back in the cotton days. Now it's imaginary money that moves from place to place. And everybody's thirsty. Burning bodies overseas. Profits are process everything. Imaginary numbers defining how we live. This is what they call achievement.
Bill O'Reilly, Rush Limbaugh, and Sean Hannity, who get on the biggest broadcasting networks in America and call any dissenting voices kooks.
Yeah.
And they engage in state-sanctioned, has been proven now, that Fox News repeats government-written talking points as the propaganda arm of the federal government to discredit all opposition. So that's a virtual libel law. So the effect is the same. In Britain, it's a statutory libel law where you cannot say anything against a corporation or an aristocrat. In America, they don't have that law, but if anyone does say anything that against an aristocrat or a corporation, then they're shot down, they're shouted down by the state organ, Fox News, who engages in massive propaganda on a weekly, on a nightly basis. They're ultimately funded. They have unlimited money, unlimited bandwidth, unlimited media space to perpetrate all kinds of propaganda. So the net result is the same. The people in the U.S. and the U.K. are equally suffering as a result of the loss of all respect for the concept of civil rights and human rights. And we're seeing this trickle around the world in the form of this insurrection. I mean, you know, we've been calling that it was going to happen. It's now happening because when you have wealth and income gaps like you have in America and you have in the U.K., at some point it snaps. And then we're at that point. We're at the beginning of the middle. This is now, the middle is the snapping point. This is when you're going to see the level of street protests rise and achieve some state of equilibrium. So something will have to give in the system. Either A, the state becomes more harsh, or B, the state breaks down to some degree. So that's the those are the two possible outcomes. Or the state is modified. Obviously, under Barack Obama, under Barack Obama in America, you've got the potential for some positive developments in terms of defanging the pernicious, ugly tendencies of statists, monopolists, and aristocrats.
However, it was reported in the New York Daily News that Obama's entire treasury and finance staff is a basically their former Robert Rubin disciples.
Tell the people.
So now
tell the people.
Robert Rubin has been named in a lawsuit in New York City against Citigroup for, quote, running a Ponzi scheme. Speaking of this pyramid scheme.
Yeah.
So they are being charged with running a Ponzi scheme as well. But, you know, the fact is, the neoliberal business model is a Ponzi scheme.
Absolutely,
they're synonymous. One day, I believe it'll be in the dictionary. Neoliberalism is defined
yeah,
as
if you incorporate the true costs, all of the true costs, for example, the environmental costs, which are treated as an externality that has no place within the model of neoliberalism. Then, if you put those costs back onto the balance sheet, what you have is a Ponzi scheme. You know, there's no way that the Earth can support global growth at 5, 6, 7% on a planet that is not growing 5, 6, or 7. Resources are not growing at 5, 6, 7% a year. Earth's resources are in a steady state. The sign of a quality economy and a stable economy and a sustainable economy is one where you've got the output matching the input. You know, during the I think it was the 18th century, for example, in various global economies, the inflation rate over that 100-year period came out to zero. So it was a fairly sustainable economy. Of course, then during the Industrial Revolution, you saw the beginning of the end in terms of the neoliberal model. Now we're at the end game for this because you cannot put out the model just doesn't work. And I agree with you. It is basically a Ponzi scheme. Every single facet of it is a Ponzi scheme. If you wanted to put the true cost back on.
There's a farmer in a distant country working on the land. A hat upon his head and a shovel in his hand. Till the soil, plant the seed, wait a while, cut the leaf, and send another cup of tea to me. I'm a spoiled child of the great imperialist state. I cannot kill my meat nor grow the food upon my plate. I never walked a mile to the well. When the tap runs dry, do tell what will become of you and me. What will become of us? Who will give us trust? Will you believe me when I say I never loved, profiting from your pain that I felt shame? Woke up this morning, the revolution knocking down my door. Those capitalist pigs, no, they don't live there anymore. Slipped out the back door into my car. How far can you drive? How far? There's a farmer in a distant country working on the land. Food turned into flowers for the uptown florist stand. But you saved another page to turn his soil into sand. The world will not deliver on demand. What will become of us? Who will give us trust? Will you believe me when I say I never loved, profiting from your pain that I felt shame when I looked the other way?
Banks in the world, the people we've been talking about for the last 3 years, they're getting ready to turn off the credit spigot. And Reuters just reported a few days ago that the credit card companies are going to turn off up to $3 trillion worth of credit across all credit cards, Visa, MasterCard, all across the spectrum.
A black hole worth hundreds of trillions of dollars. It's a huge black hole of debt that even if every single stock, bond, and house in America were liquidated and sold to the Chinese and that money was thrown into this black hole of debt, it still would not create equilibrium in the U.S. economy. You would still have downward pressure.